heaven who has blessed us so richly in so many different ways. We're going back to Exodus 32 to begin the lesson this morning. You recall that Moses had gone up on Mount Sinai to receive the Ten Commandments, and while he tarried, the Israelites got a little bit antsy and decided that they wanted another god because Moses didn't seem to be coming down, and they asked Moses to make them another god, and Moses does that. He takes gold that they take off, you know, from their earrings and nose rings and all of that, and he fashions a golden calf, and they worship it. And it says about them in Exodus chapter 32 and verse 6, they rose early on the next day, offered burnt offerings, brought peace offerings, then the people sat down to eat and drink, and they rose up to play. So here you have the people of God giving themselves over to idolatry, idolatry that they would have seen in the land of Egypt, idolatry that would be around them when they got to the promised land. And here they are in the midst of receiving God's law from the holy mountain, and they have given themselves over to that which is evil. When Moses comes down from the mountain, he's greatly disturbed, to say the least. And it says in Exodus 32 and verse 26 that Moses stood in the entrance of the camp and said, "Whoever is on the Lord's side, come to me." And all the sons of Levi gathered themselves together to him. And they took their swords and they slew their own brethren. Up to 3,000 men were slain that day. These were all Israelites, but a bunch of them had taken the wrong side. There were two sides to take, and a bunch of them had taken the wrong side. The choice was to go along with idolatry, to play and to follow pleasure and lust like everyone else, or to take a stand for the Lord and His side. Do we understand this morning that we are presented every day with that choice in today's world? The Lord's side or Satan's side? There are those two sides still today. Jesus clarifies for us in a couple of places in the New Testament how stark the difference is between these two sides, between good and evil, and that the two are in opposition to one another. There's not any middle ground. There are two sides, and you have to choose between those two sides. And Jesus will tell us that if we're not on the enemy's side, we're on His side. Go with me to Mark chapter 9. And I want you to notice in two of the main texts that we'll be looking at in the next few minutes, the issue that brings about the discussion that Jesus has in both of these cases about good and evil, about His side and Satan's side, the issue that brings up that discussion is the issue about casting out demons. Now certainly, we don't have that problem today. Satan's angels and demons are at work in the world, but as far as we know and what the Bible teaches is, they don't possess people like they once did. But everybody would say, and you know, even the movies they make, demons are bad, okay? And being possessed by a demon, that's the epitome of what evil is. And being able to cast out a demon, then that would be the power of good, clearly. And it's in that context that these discussions come up. In Mark chapter 9 and verse 38, John, the Apostle John, comes to Jesus and he says, "Teacher, we saw someone who does not follow us casting out demons in your name. And we forbade him because he does not follow us." John is concerned that this particular person who was casting out demons wasn't with the entourage, the group of disciples that were with Jesus. This person was casting out demons in the name of Jesus, but they weren't following, apparently, with the group. Jesus said, "Do not forbid him, for no one who works a miracle in my name can soon afterwards speak evil of me. For he who is not against us is on our side." He who is not against us is on our side. Here is someone who is not against the cause of Christ. In fact, he's doing extraordinary good in the name of Christ, casting out the demon, the very epitome of what evil is. He's for us. Supporting someone in their efforts puts you on their side. In 2 John verses 10 and 11, John said that if anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine, do not receive him into your house or greet him, for he who greets him shares in his evil deeds. You see, if you support someone who's teaching evil and doing evil, you're on their side. You share in their evil deeds. If you support somebody that's doing good, you share in their good deeds. John writes in 3 John verse 8, we ought to receive ministers who've gone out for the gospel, he's talking about, that we may become fellow workers for the truth. So here you have this principle that's supporting somebody's cause. Supporting them in that cause even is being on their side, whichever side that is. We also learn the converse of this. If we're not on Jesus' side, we're on the enemy's side. Again, Matthew chapter 12, the issue is casting out demons. And I'm going to go back and read this context a little bit, starting in verse 22. There was brought to Jesus a man who was demon-possessed, Matthew 12, 22. This man was blind and mute, and he healed him, so that the blind and mute man both spoke and saw. All the multitude were amazed and said, could this be the son of David? Now when the Pharisees heard it, they said, this fellow does not cast out demons except by Beelzebub, the ruler of demons. Now, again, demon possession is the very epitome, the essence of what evil would be, manifest in this world. And for somebody to say, well, you're casting out demons, you're getting rid of that evil by the prince of demons, Beelzebub, is utter nonsense. But that's the accusation. And Jesus points out the foolishness of such an accusation. He says, knowing their thoughts, he said to them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself will not stand. If Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. How then will his kingdom stand? In passing here, let me notice with you, and we'll get back to this in a minute, Satan has a kingdom. Okay, Christ has a kingdom. Those are the two sides. Satan's kingdom is not against itself. Satan's kingdom is against the kingdom of Christ. Christ's kingdom is against the kingdom of Satan. Jesus goes on, if I cast out demons by Beelzebub, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore they shall be your judges. But if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you. How can one enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods unless he first binds the strong man, and then he will plunder his house? He who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters. You're either with him or against him. You're on one side or the other side. In Matthew 7, Jesus makes another observation, interestingly, along this line. Casting out demons is included in this statement. But in Matthew 7, verse 21, he famously says that not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. You can't just say I'm on your side, Lord, and be on his side. That's not being on somebody's side. Saying you're on someone's side isn't being on their side. Doing the will of the King, supporting that makes you on his side. He goes on to say, many will say to me in that day, and notice they say it. This is what they say. They probably believe it, but it's not true. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, done wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. That which is without authority. That which has not come under the auspices, the authority, and the power of the king. You're doing stuff the king has not permitted you to do or authorized you to do. And you're not on my side. You never were on my side. That's what Jesus is saying. There is, please understand what I'm getting to here and what Jesus is telling us in these passages. There is no not taking sides. You're going to be on one side or the other. There are two sides to choose between. There is no middle ground. There's no third side. Two. You'll be on one or the other. In the Lord of the Rings trilogy, in The Two Towers, we're introduced, if you're familiar with that work of fiction, we're introduced to a character called Treebeard. And Treebeard knows a lot about what's going on in the world. There's a lot of bad, a lot of good. He's asked, whose side are you on? And he answers this way. He says, side? I am on nobody's side because nobody is on my side. I am not altogether on anybody's side because nobody is altogether on my side. And that is pretty much the attitude of much of the world today. I'm on the side of me. Anybody that supports me, that's good. Anybody that supports what I like, that's good. But me choosing between good and evil, I'm not taking sides. Interestingly, in the book, Treebeard found out that there was such a thing as real evil and real good, and he had to make a choice. A lot of Christians haven't found that out yet. A lot of people in the world haven't found that out yet. Jesus said, Matthew chapter 6 and verse 24, no one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. Friends and brethren, Jesus, our Lord and Savior and King, is under attack everywhere in this present evil world. His life and words are under severe and relentless attack by everyone from atheistic scholars and school teachers, to Bible critics, to media hit pieces from slanderous and deviant authors who are looking for a quick buck. He's under attack from ordinary individuals who read and listen to and watch the venom on the TV and internet and radio talk shows that demean and degrade the name and the work of Jesus Christ and His kingdom. Not thinking for themselves, a lot of people in this world, including I think some Christians, swallow the lies like a fish swallows a worm, get hooked by the forces of evil under the guiding hands of the devil himself, and choose the wrong side. The choice is between light and darkness. The devil wants us to believe that there are 50 shades of gray here to choose between. There's light and there's darkness. The kingdom of Jesus is a kingdom of light. And those who are in it have been taken out of the kingdom of darkness and placed in the kingdom of light. Colossians 1 and verse 13, He has delivered us from the power, or one translation says, the dominion of darkness, and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. We're not in that kingdom of Satan anymore. Jesus Christ told the Apostle Paul as he was sending him on his journey, his mission to preach the gospel to the Gentiles. He says he would do it to open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins. Two dominions, two kingdoms. That's all there is. Citizens of the kingdom of light live in the light. Romans chapter 13. Verse 12 says that the night is far spent and the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness. Cast off, don't have anything to do with them. Get rid of them, throw them far from you. Cast off the works of darkness. Put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. That's darkness, not light. Paul will write to the Thessalonians in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 5, "You are all sons of light and of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness." We are not of the night or of the darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep, but let us watch and be sober. Are we doing that? I think some of us need to wake up. Those who sleep, sleep at night. Those who get drunk are drunk at night. Let us who are of the day be sober. Put on the breastplate of faith and love. And as a helmet, the hope of salvation. In Ephesians 5 and verse 8, Paul says, "You were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." I'd like you to go to that text, Ephesians chapter 5. We'll notice two or three things there quickly. As we consider how light exposes darkness, he had said in verse 8, "You were once darkness, but now you're light, and the Lord, walk as children of light." In verse 11, he says, "Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them." Our obligation is to have nothing to do with those unfruitful works of darkness. No support of them. No encouragement of them. Our obligation about those works of darkness is to expose them. He says it's shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. It's shameful even to speak of some of the things that they're doing out in the world, in plain view now. But all things are exposed, that are exposed or made manifest by the light, for whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore, he says, "Awake out of sleep, arise from the dead, Christ will give you light. See that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time." Folks, let's not walk as fools in this world of darkness. Let's not be tricked by Satan into confusing good and evil, into pretending that gray is okay. Do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Those in darkness, many in darkness, hate the light. Please understand this. Those in darkness, it's not that they're ambivalent toward the light. It's not that they just tolerate the light. Those in darkness, there are those in darkness who hate the light. Hate it. Jesus said in John 3 and verse 19, "This is the condemnation, that light has come into the world and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who practices evil hates the light." Who is on the Lord's side? Who is on the Lord's side? Light, friends, isn't vulnerable to darkness. Darkness is vulnerable to light. You can't shine darkness into the light. It doesn't work that way. You can shine light into darkness, and it makes it light. Jesus said that the lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, the whole body will be filled with light. If your eye is focused on that which is good, that which is in the light, your body will be filled with light. If your eye is focused, though, on that which is in the darkness, if that's where your attention is drawn, if that's what you're seeing and looking at and exposing your brain to, what's going to happen to you is you will be filled with darkness. Whose side are you on? Whose side are you on? Whose side are you on when it comes to things that are just sweeping through our culture now, and we're supposed to pretend like they're not happening? Issues regarding gender identity, gender confusion, and gender reassignment. Abortion, hundreds of thousands of innocent, unborn children being murdered every year in America. The very nature of truth itself. You can't listen. Can't listen to a news broadcast, and I don't care who the media source is, without being lied to over and over again. Talk about social justice, where that which is called justice is just injustice in masquerade. And it's tolerated and lauded. Not always, please understand me. But that's happening. These are things that many of us have just come to accept in recent times. And then there are many other things, things that we've heard preached on over the years as being deeds of darkness, which we're to expose and not tolerate and stand against and certainly not practice. But they're now tolerated. They're now tolerated in the entertainment we enjoy, in our worldly occupations, and the friends that we choose to spend our time with, and the activities that we engage in. So over the years, how many times have we heard lessons concerning foul language, the misuse of God's name, taking it in vain? Whose side are you on? In Ephesians chapter 4, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth. Not one. Whose side are you on? Chapter 5, neither filthiness, verse 4, neither filthiness nor foolish talking or coarse jesting, which are not fitting, not suitable for saints to speak or tolerate. Whose side are we on? Whose side are we on when it comes to sexual immorality, rampant and accepted throughout our culture now? Sexual morality is what's not accepted in our culture today. Sexual immorality is the norm. This very passage, fornication, verse 3, all uncleanness, covetousness, let it not even be named among you as is fitting for saints. Somebody engages in such activity, maybe commits adultery, defiling God's plan for marriage, and because their family or friend or whatever it might be, it's winked at, it's overlooked. We see these sorts of things on entertainment all the time and television shows and movies. It's normative. It's not darkness. It's just gray. Gambling and covetousness. What's this passage say? All uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you. Verse 5, for this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, or covetous man who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Because the kingdom of Christ is the kingdom of light. And you can't be covetous and be in the light. And yes, surely most of us are aware that again, this is coming up in our state. We're going to be asked to legalize gambling, which is covetousness gone to seed. And the morality of it, heard lots of reports on the gambling bill that's going through the Alabama State Legislature right now. I have not heard one person discuss the morality of it. That covetousness is not in the light. We're living in a world where pornography is accepted and sometimes lauded. Certainly most people don't know what's wrong with it, don't think anything's wrong with it. It's overtaken the lives of Christians, especially Christian men, sometimes women as well. But the warning to men that Jesus gives in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 28, I say to you, whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. Jesus says, at all costs, don't do this. If your right eye causes you to sin, pluck it out and cast it from you. It is more profitable for you that one of your members perish than for your whole body to be cast into hell. Men, are you listening to that? Pornography is not optional. It's not a gray thing. It's not a, well, it's okay to do this sometimes because of this, that, or the other reason. It's in the darkness. Lusting after a woman, and it doesn't matter what she's wearing, who is not your wife, is in the darkness. And women, if you're not dressed in modest apparel, it's in the darkness. Paul says that women ought to dress, adorn themselves in modest apparel with propriety, moderation, not with braided hair or gold or pearls or costly clothing, but which is proper for women professing godliness. Peter says that young wives are to behave in such a way that they are chaste and not let their adornment be merely outward. The day and time that we're living in, jeans or other clothing tighter than the skin on a grape, necklines that plunge, hemlines that are up, that are not godly, that are in the darkness. And preachers like myself, who have been preaching about this and pointing this out, are accused of being oppressive to women, of singling women out as being the problem. I'm not singling women out any more than the Apostle Paul did and Peter did. I'm not singling men out any more than Jesus did. It's in the darkness. There's no excuse for someone who's in it, the kingdom of light. If I sound like I'm mad, I am. Mad at the darkness. I'm mad at that the darkness is overtaking the kingdom of light. Social drinking is winked at, even encouraged by some people who call themselves Christians, some even who attend so-called conservative churches of Christ, as if it was not a problem, as if the Bible never addressed it. And Peter says, we've lived enough of our past lifetime in drinking parties. So whose side are you on? Whose side? God has done a wonderful thing for us. He sent His Son, who by His grace and power has translated us out of the kingdom of darkness and into the kingdom of light. Let's live like that. Let's make a choice. Who is on the Lord's side? I could have talked to somebody this morning about something that you needed to hear. Maybe you've been out in the darkness on some of these issues or others. Come back to the light. Confess your sin. Ask for forgiveness. Whatever you need, we'd ask you to come while we stand and sing.